Hello, everyone. Good morning. As you heard before, I'm Kevin Smith, and I'm 16 years old. I'm going to be 17 at the end of the month, so close. It's not worth mentioning. So close. I'm homeschooled, and I live in the Arlington area. And so thank you guys for the opportunity to speak to you all this morning. I want to talk to you guys about a topic this morning that I think is a really, really big problem in the world today. That is something that's getting worse and worse, it seems, with each generation. And that's that we all get distracted so easily. We keep getting pulled away from God. And our attention goes to something or someone else. And why is this happening? Well, it's partially probably because we forget about God, and unless we're constantly being reminded, we forget and we focus our time on other things. And the Israelites, for example, forgot God's grace in whenever they were in the wilderness. They forgot that God led them out of the wilderness, that God had brought them out of that. They so quickly forgot because they lost their comfort. They weren't as comfortable as they were back in Egypt. And they weren't getting food, and they didn't have water. And so they were just starting to forget, and they got distracted by other evil things. And they started making idols, and they started forgetting how God had led them out of Egypt. And so what are some things that we face today that distract us from God? I wanted to start with the first one that probably a lot of you would think was coming, and this is money. Money is a necessity, and we all know that we all have to have it to live because it's of our society. That's just the way things are. We need money to survive, to pay for things, to get food, to have a place to live. But the problem is that some people can become slaves to it. Some people start to love money more than they love God, more than they love other things. And one verse that really stands out of all the Bible verses about money, there's a lot of Bible verses about money, is 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So Paul is writing to Timothy here and warning him about how the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So if you love money, that can become a problem. And even Jesus in Matthew 19, verse 24, says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, either that would have to be a really small camel or a really big needle for that to work. Otherwise, it's impossible. And so, and I'll get on to how Jesus explains how this can become possible in just a moment. But just to give you an illustration of how impossible it is, the camel going through the eye of a needle. That's how hard it is because so many people fall in love with money, and they love money more than they love God, and it distracts them from their main goal in this life. And it's all about power. Humans want power. It's about being able to have that instant gratification, that ability to go and get something that you want anytime you want it. And it's about having power. And we don't, maybe some of you may be thinking, you know, well, I'm not really rich, so I don't really have anything to worry about. But if you consider on a grand scale the wealth of people just in general in America versus somewhere like India and that whole area of Asia, two-thirds of the population of the world's population lives in Asia. And America only makes up about 4% of the world's population. And so if you compare, though, the daily wages of people here versus the daily wages in India, it's the equivalent in India of about $1 a day for most of the people in India. And I'm not saying $1 in their money, $1 in equivalent of what their money is equal to in American dollars. So they're living on a lot less. So when you consider that, you realize just how rich we all are. Because we pretty much all have a dollar to spare all the time. And that is more than they get in one day. And so we are all rich, so we can all struggle with being distracted by money. But you know what the thing that Jesus says, and if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, I want to address what Jesus says about financial stability. And that's not exactly directly what he's talking about here, but I think that it applies. If you look in verse 25 of Matthew 6, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life?" And I think what Jesus is trying to emphasize here is that he knows whenever even a sparrow falls, even a bird falls, he knows any time something happens in this creation. And so how much more valuable are we who were made in the image of God that we should be worrying about things like financial stability, money? And yet we worry so much about these things and we get distracted by it, even though Jesus says not to worry. The next thing that I want to talk about that becomes a big distraction to us, and even more so in the last few generations with the rise of just digital technology, things of that nature, is media. And this includes internet, television, radio, newspapers, magazines, sports, anything you can think of that involves entertainment, that kind of thing. This could be a huge distraction for this age especially. And I know this is a huge distraction for me as well. And the problem is that it's so easy to become infatuated, to become obsessed with these things. Not only are some of them having bad influences on us and our kids, but not my kids, personally, because I don't have any kids. But they consume your time as well. And you know, one of the big things in our culture is pornography. And it's just, it's done so much damage to our society, to so many people in our society. And this is a part of this rise of media. This is the things that we get distracted by. It's always within our reach. On our cell phones, on our laptops, on our computers, on anything. We can access, within a few clicks, we have access to all of this dangerous material, all of these things that could ruin our lives, and we can become obsessed with any of these things. And the next thing that I want to talk about that can become a huge distraction, and some of you may not get this at first, but I'll explain, is church. And so the thing, this is not intentional, and this doesn't always happen, but sometimes church can take too much of our focus and our effort as a Christian. And we focus too much, and we put too much emphasis, really, on church and on what church represents. So sometimes we put so much stock in going to church rather than our relationship with God and loving people in the world around us just like Jesus teaches us to do. You see, it's so easy to make Christianity into a checklist where you go, went to church, check, you know, gave some money, sang some songs, listened to the sermon, now I get to go and have lunch, you know, and that's what... And trust me, I'm always thinking about lunch a lot when I'm at church, too. That's a problem that, you know, just getting distracted. I'm getting distracted by 100 different things. Even while I'm speaking, I'm thinking about a bunch of different things. It's so easy to get distracted from these things. And so, and I know not all of you are this way. Many of you are not. But it is easy to get distracted and to start thinking about other things. When you're at church, but back to what I was saying about church itself being a distraction. It's so easy to just go to church and then say, okay, I'm good for the week now. I'm done. And then we go and live a regular life, and such a regular life that nobody outside in the world would know that we were a Christian if we didn't tell them. And so the purpose of the church is really to refuel, to recharge, to encourage each other, and then to go back out into the world and live and love like you believe in Christ. Being a Christian is not itself going to church. You see, and this is an adaptation of a quote, but Christians weren't made for the church. the Christians, but the church was made for the Christians. You see, because some people can get distracted by that and think that all that there is to the Christian life is church. And that's so far from the truth. And you know, another thing that I don't quite understand, some people think that there's this, like, this standard. They get distracted by the little details of things. They think that there's a standard for how you should act. Suddenly, the way that you should act changes when you step inside a church building or you're at some church function, that suddenly the way you should act changes. Like, the bar for how you should act is down here when you're out in public, just, you know, throughout the week. And then whenever you're at church or when you're with church people, it's up here. And you act like that when you're with church people, but you can go back to the way you want to act outside of church. And I don't quite get this hypocrisy and this double standard that people have. You know, I've heard people say things like, "Well, don't say that. We're at church. People, you know, don't curse. We're at church." I've heard kids say that, stuff like that. Don't say that. We're at church. Like, it's different. Like, you can act like that out there when you leave. You know, throughout the week, when you go back to school or whenever you go back into the world with your job. But don't act like that in here. Or people at Bible camp would be like, "Dude, don't say that. We're a Bible camp. You can't say that here." And it's like, wait, what? How is that any different from when you're out in the world and when you're trying to be an example of Christ? You can act a different way. You can act what society would consider as normal. You can act that way out there, but you have to act this special way when you're at church. And it's just this, they get so distracted thinking that that's what it's all about. It's about acting perfect, you know, when you're here for like 3 hours. They can become so focused on church and not on how God wants us to live our lives, hoping to be a light that people will see in the darkness. The next thing I want to talk to you about that could be a distraction is ourselves. And the reason that this could be a big distraction, and this is the most likely thing to distract us, is because we're always around ourselves. We have the desire to sin. We're always tempted by our own sinful desires. And Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." So what you see here is that we all have these sinful desires. But what we're told to do is go against that. It's not going to be a normal way of doing things. You have to go against the grain. You have to go against what you want to do, because the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. And so what happens is there's this constant battle between the flesh and the Spirit. And my dad has told me this story a few times where there's basically, figuratively, there are two wolves fighting in you. And one's a good wolf and one's a bad wolf. And which one is going to win? It's not just left up to random chance, whichever wolf, you know, is just randomly is going to be stronger. It's the one that you feed is going to be the one that wins. So you have to decide which wolf are you going to feed. Are you going to feed the good wolf of the Spirit, or are you going to feed the bad wolf of the flesh? That's what you have to make that decision, because otherwise you can become distracted by these things and you can feed the wrong wolf, and you can lose that battle. So the key problem is that we become too focused on this life. That is what I'm emphasizing, is that we become too focused on this life, on our short time here, that we get distracted from our real goal. I want you to think about eternity compared to our few years here. We have maybe, you know, 80, 90 years, maybe, if we're lucky. Some of us don't have near that long on this earth. But do you realize that where you will spend millions and millions of years, like eternally, not more than millions, millions and billions and trillions, an infinite amount of time in eternity, is all determined by what you do here in such a short time? I want to illustrate this. I brought this rope with me. I just want you to pretend that it begins here with this little red part here. And then I'm going to pretend that it goes on forever in the other direction. If I can just make it look like it goes on forever. There we go. So this little red part right here represents your time here on earth. It's a very, very short amount of time compared to all of this. You got infinite amount of time in this direction. And it's all determined by this little bit here. But how do we live our lives? We live them most of the time like this is all there is. And like, we just are so focused on making sure that we're comfortable right here. That we're enjoying ourselves right here. That we have financial stability right here. And I'm not saying that, you know, we don't want to have financial stability. I'm just saying some people can get consumed with that. Some people can become obsessed with that. Like, that's all that matters is being able to have enough here, being comfortable here. Whenever you have all of this to think about, you have infinite amount of time this way to think about. And this little red part is what so many people think about all the time and they become consumed with. And just to emphasize how small this is, in James chapter 4, verse 14, James says that our lives are but a vapor that appears for a little while and then they vanish. That's how short our lives are. Like a geyser that has water coming out. It goes up and then it comes back down, and that's our life. It's just short bursts of water like that. That's our lives. So short, and yet we focus so much on that little part. And Paul states that the way that we should be spending our lives, instead of just running aimlessly and not having a goal, we have to focus on our goal and not get distracted by the things of this world. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, he really gives us a good example of how this should look. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." And you know, I want to share with you a C.S. Lewis quote. This is actually just a paraphrase. I forgot to write it down, so I'll just paraphrase it. But C.S. Lewis said that the people that he has noticed that have done the most good for the kingdom of God on earth are those that have been the most focused on the next life. And I think that really is the key, to not get distracted by the things of this world, but to keep your eyes on the main goal, on the end, on eternity, and to not be distracted. We have to look at the finish line, the figurative finish line, like it's a race that we're running. And along this path, there are many distractions. It's like we're running on this narrow path, and we're just running full speed, and there's distractions to our left and to our right. They're all around us. But we have to just keep our eyes right on Jesus. We have to keep our eyes straight ahead towards eternity, and we have to run full speed to eternity. And that really should be our goal, because otherwise we're going to get distracted by the things around us. And to get back to what I was saying before in Matthew 19, Jesus says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And then his apostles ask, "Well, then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And this is really the beauty of God's grace, is that what's impossible for us to do, seemingly impossible things, like being rich and having financial prosperity, can be a huge distraction. But with God, we can handle those things. We can get through those things. We cannot be distracted by those things. And some people might think, you know, I've wasted so much time. I'm too far gone. I'm too distracted by the things of this world. I can't fix that. But Jesus said that God can fix that, because all things are possible with God. And so Don't ever just look at the past, because you will get depressed. Don't look at what you have done, how you've been distracted. Look straight ahead at the future and what you can do differently. That's the main thing. Look at the power of God. God can get you on the right track. Because all that really matters is that day that will come soon when we will look at God. We will stand before God. And we have to focus on that moment. Because that's really what ultimately matters. And remember that we have no guarantees of tomorrow, of the next minute. Every minute that we have is a gift. We do not know how much longer we have here on earth. And so, if you already believe but you've been distracted, pray that God will help you through these distractions, that He will help you get refocused on the things that matter. And if you haven't trusted in Jesus already, if you haven't put on Christ in baptism and washed away all of your sins, when you're baptized, you're dying to yourself and you're being raised to walk with Christ. And so, if you would like to be baptized now, you can go down into the water, come back up, and run full speed ahead toward eternity. And keep your eyes focused on God. If anyone would like to come forward now, please do so as we stand and sing.